I pray that I may speak and you may hear, in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From our second lesson, I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. There is a story of an 8-year-old boy who had never spoken a single word ever. And one day, as he was sat eating his lunch, he turned to his mother and said, "The soup's cold." His astonished mother exclaimed, "Johnny, I've waited so long to hear you speak. All these years you've never said a thing. Why haven't you spoken before?" And the boy looked at her as though she was a little stupid and replied, "Up till now, everything's been okay." Up till now, everything's been okay. That was the issue for the church in Laodicea, a wealthy city known for its banks, its textile industry, and its medical school with its ophthalmology and its world-famous eye salve or ointment. It stood on the most important road in Asia Minor, at a significant crossroads on the great east-west highway that ran from Ephesus to Syria. And having been a fortress, it had turned into a major commercial and financial center because of the peace that came with the dominion of Rome. It had one serious physical handicap in that it had no natural water supply, unlike its neighboring cities Hierapolis, which had hot springs, and Colossae, which had healthy cold water. Laodicea's water was piped into the city from springs about 6 miles away, and that water was tepid and nauseous to drink. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. And the church in Laodicea seems to have been infected either by the water or by the complacency and self-satisfaction of Laodicea itself. It is the one church Jesus Christ has nothing good to say about. It is described in our second lesson from Revelation as lukewarm, as utterly unaware of its own needs, wallowing in its riches and success, whilst being spiritually poor and blind. Up till now, everything's been okay. As you probably know, in this first part of the strange book that is the Revelation of John the Divine, there are letters addressed to each of 7 churches, and Laodicea is the last of the 7. Whenever I read it, I often wonder if it is directed at me, or whatever church I happen to be part of, or even the whole Church of England. With my present role, I wonder if it is addressed to the whole Diocese of Guildford, where many of us are particularly fortunate and blessed and can easily be seduced into complacency and self-centeredness. The prevailing culture of secularism and materialism can affect us too. In the life of the churches of this diocese, let alone this cathedral, it is possible to be conned into thinking all is fine. There is much good news. I can take you to lots of churches that are thriving, but equally to others that are almost dead. And by thriving, I just don't mean those that are growing numerically, but also those whose discipleship and living out of the gospel, or whose engagement with and care for their community is outstanding. They certainly don't strike me as lukewarm or complacent. Their infectious enthusiasm for the gospel and the kingdom is intensely attractive. Their commitment to live out their faith in their daily lives is almost visible. Somehow they make Jesus himself visible. And this isn't a churchmanship issue. I find it across the breadth of the church and in villages as much as in towns and in leafy suburbia as well as tough areas of deprivation. And I thank God that my present job shows me what God can do through people who respond to him. As a church, we live at a time of both opportunity and challenge. So many people do not know of the love of the risen Christ, and the way in which it can radically affect our thinking, our caring, and the way we live our lives. So many people have no understanding that Christ can radically affect the way in which we have in the past and can in the future order our society and set our nation's priorities. We who've been attracted by this person, Jesus Christ, have a responsibility to share his love and live out his risen life. It's not a lukewarm matter. It is also urgent, as research into church attendance figures alone is showing an enormous age gap, let alone slow but steady decline. The decline is not so true in our diocese, but the age issue is. And as a diocese, we are tackling that issue. And this is not about preserving our churches or saving the Church of England. It's far more important. It's about sharing the person who is Jesus Christ with everyone, with our society and our world. It's about enabling people to see that Christians are not just another cozy club of like-minded people who meet behind closed or semi-closed doors on a Sunday, but that the crucified and risen Lord is inextricably connected with the ups and downs, the joys and sorrows of personal life, is inextricably connected with the plethora of complex issues posed by our society and the world, from poverty to immigration, from child abuse to the future of the NHS, from Ebola to Nepal, Syria, and the Ukraine, all of which cannot be characterized by a lukewarm response or by looking back to a golden age when all was okay. We need to be seen to share the love of the passionate, merciful, and inclusive Christ in a society that seems to have half forgotten those values. This message, this letter, that challenges the lukewarm Christians in Laodicea also contains the way forward, with possibly the most well-known verse in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," made famous by Holman Hunt's picture, "The Light of the World." Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you. Now, this is a verse much used by evangelists who are trying to open the minds of those that they are trying to bring to know Jesus Christ for the first time. I actually think that when we look at the verse in its context, it's challenging those of us who already follow Jesus, those of us who have already decided to follow him and try to be him in his world. It's challenging what I call the clean, easy man experience. You don't know what I'm talking about. When I was a small boy, a salesman from a home care company called Clean Easy used to go round from door to door selling mops and dusters and the latest cleaning gimmick. He was very persuasive, and my mother was seemingly incapable of saying she didn't want anything. So if she saw him coming, she used to shout, "It's the Clean Easy Man," at my sister and I, and that meant we had to hide behind the sofa and not answer the door. I therefore got used to hearing several knocks on the door, which were never, ever answered. And I have to go on and say that the passage is challenging you and me as individuals. This cathedral church, the churches of this diocese, the whole Church of England, to reflect on whether we should be responding to Jesus, if you like, knocking on our door. And if that is the case, it's not actually a difficult request to respond to. It's not a tough request, like Jesus' call to some disciples to take up the cross or to sacrifice everything. It's not even mildly difficult, like being asked to learn to ride a unicycle or kiss a verger on the nose. It's merely a request to let an old friend come in and have a meal. A request to find the time in our pressured lives to open our minds and hearts to him again. From that encounter, that opening up, may come all sorts of challenges or opportunities, but initially we're being asked to look again at the person who excited us, who challenged us, who inspired us in the first flashes of our faith, and who, of course, still loves us and we still love. What might come out of that re-encounter is anyone's guess. The question tonight is, dare we do it? Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you. Amen.